His stripes we are healed.
There are some brothers that believe,
or at least they teach, that that means you will never suffer any disease or illness because by your stripes you're healed. I believe that's a wrong interpretation. Otherwise, every one of us got some problems. I think all of us have some illnesses, some diseases, some problems in our lives that are very difficult. I do believe in the end of times that we are going to be delivered from all aches and pains, including those aches and pains from sin. And that's going to be a glorious time. And with that in mind, that is actually going to be kind of my message this morning. If you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, I'm going to read a well-known verse, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you do not come to our Wednesday night meetings, I would encourage you to come. We gather around. We do have an open meeting, but we also gather around to pray, to take our prayers to the Lord God Almighty, to the God of heaven. And we do pray to our Father, which is in heaven. And He does hear because of Jesus Christ, His Son. He is our mediator. For that, we're thankful. But for those of you that are regular attending the Wednesday night meetings, we ask a show of hands, anybody that has an unspoken request. In all the years that we've been here, all the years that I've been to Wednesday night meetings, I've yet to have an empty raising of hands. Every Wednesday night, there are multiple people that raise their hands. They say, "I have a burden. I can't reveal the burden. I have problems in my life. I have difficulties. I have a request for God. I'm maybe embarrassed by what's going on in my life, or maybe it's just too difficult. Maybe it's too complicated to try to explain, but there is something in my life that I'm carrying right now, and I ask for prayer." Jesus would say unto them, "Come unto me." And it's hard for me because I'm naturally empathetic, and I feel for people that carry burdens. And it's difficult to carry a burden. But then we have this promise of Jesus Christ. He says, "Come to me." And I want you to notice just a couple things before I get in the message. I do have 6 points in a poem. I'm not going to lay them out right now. Hopefully you'll be astute and you'll be able to discover those 6 points. If you want to know exactly what they are to see if you pass the test, you can come afterwards and I'll give you a copy of my message this morning. They're all laid out with points and headings and whatnot. And also there's a poem at the end. Well, not necessarily a poem, but a story. But the point is here, first I just want to point out a couple things about this verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me." He didn't say, "Go to somebody else." He didn't say, "Go find you a priest." Now, a priest may be able to help you, but he's not going to be able to help you like Jesus can. He didn't say, "Go to your pastor," and I hope that your pastor would be willing and able to help you with your burdens, but he's not going to be able to help you like Jesus can. He did not say, "Take a pilgrimage to Mecca and rub a stone." That's idolatry, by the way. For those that are adamantly opposed, supposedly opposed to idolatry, going there and bowing down before a stone in Mecca and rubbing it and thinking it has some sort of power is the essence of idolatry, and repent of that. But Jesus didn't say, "Go to Mecca and pray." He didn't say, "Go to San Juan de los Lagos and pray." He didn't say, "Go to the Virgin Mary and pray." He didn't say, "Go to the saints in heaven and pray." He didn't say, "Put a sticker on your window and pray." He said, "Come to me."
Amen.
Come to me. The second point I want to make here in this particular verse, I just want to point out that he said here that all ye that labor in heaven, or labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is all. The condition is, are you burdened and heavy laden? If that be your case, he said, come on. Come on, come to me. I'll take care of it. Then last of all, I want to say, or just point out here, is that the rest, coming to Jesus, does not mean you don't got to go to work tomorrow. Does not mean you don't have to take out the trash, or you don't got to scrub the floors or clean out the toilet. Does not mean that you won't ever sweat again. He's talking about, if you read down a little bit further, and you shall find rest unto your souls. If you read the Bible, if you spend any time with the Lord Jesus Christ, being followers of Him, you know that He giveth peace that passes all understanding. That in the midst of the storm, when all about us you're crying and wailing and wondering if you're going to perish, He's able to stand up and say, peace, be still. And that is a marvelous thing when the peace of God comes in your soul. Despite all the difficulties, all the anxieties, all the burdens, all the problems surrounding you, the storms of life troubling you, but Jesus somehow gives you peace. I would encourage you to go, well, I guess you go to Amazon, or I guess you don't go to a brick and mortar store, but there used to be a Christian bookstore here in town. There may be still somewhere. I'm not sure where, but you might be able to find it. And find you some missionary stories about people that give their lives in service of God and go to a foreign country and face extreme hardships. And how many times there's this refrain or this repetition of a story that despite the threats of death or sometimes torture and pain, sometimes imprisonment, that God gives them peace that's unexplainable. God gives them a rest despite the labor and the heavy burden. It's amazing. And if you've never experienced that, Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. And all of ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your soul. So the first point I want to make this morning is I want to emphasize that Jesus did say, come to me. He says in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. There is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. He's the only mediator. There is no other mediator. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 7, I love these verses. Open your Bibles, if you will, and look at it. Hebrews in chapter 7, it's speaking of Christ. He said, but this man, in verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus Christ will ever live. His life is involved in making intercession for you and I. And he says, come unto me. Hey, if Jesus asked anybody have a prayer request, I think you better raise your hand because he's interested in knowing what your request is. He says, come unto me. He's the only way. I believe it'd be a great mistake to go on to others.
That's right.
In the sense of denying Christ in order to go to others. I mean, why would you go to a saint or to the mother when you have direct access to the Father by the Son?
Amen.
Why would you go to somebody seeking forgiveness of sins and lifting of your burdens when God Almighty says to you, come to me and I'll take care of it? Why would you go to somebody else? I believe that's a lack of faith or rebellion or ignorance, or you've been deceived by false religion. Jesus' call is come. Look in Isaiah in chapter 55, you'll see the same refrain. It says, ho, chapter 55 in Isaiah, verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come. come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It's God imploring, God beseeching, God calling out and said, come, come, come unto me. Are you burdened? Come. Are you thirsty? Come. Are you hungry? Come. And he'll give you rest for your soul.
Amen.
Have you been burdened about your sins?
Amen.
Have you been burdened about life in general? Have you noticed the vanity of life? Maybe some of you young people haven't actually got to that point and realized that life is vain. Some of the older generation, they look back and we think, my, this life sure did go fast. And the routine drudgery of every day getting up and going to work, and you think, is this what it's all about? There is a time when you come to your life and realize that life is vain and your soul is empty. And that's when you get thirsty for God. And Jesus says, come, come. Look at John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst... Are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty? Are you looking for satisfaction for your soul and rest for your soul? Are you thirsty this morning? The call is to the thirsty. The call is to the heavy laden. The call is to the burden. Are you burdened this morning? Jesus said, and he cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is using imagery to explain something to us. He's not saying that if we're thirsty, he's going to give us a cup of water. He's saying if our souls are empty and it's begging for water and begging for bread, he says, come to me and I'll satisfy it. Have you ever been there, sinner friend? Another place Jesus said, let them come unto me. Do you remember that? The disciples themselves, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow got mixed up in the business of preventing people for people to come to Christ. Unimaginable. Mark in chapter 10 and verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, his disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. My brethren, my brothers and sisters, let us not be impeding those that are thirsting for Christ.
Amen.
Let us be careful that we do not become stumbling blocks to those that would desire to come to Christ. Jesus gives us a command, forbid them not. Don't get in your heads that no, they're not worthy or they're not able, because this thirsty soul needs the Savior. And Jesus says to the thirsty soul, let them come. Let them come unto me. Don't impede them, is the cry. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad that's true? Has a pastor ever disappointed you? I'm sure he has. I probably disappoint you quite a few times. More than I want to, believe me. Has a priest ever let you down? Has a rabbi or imam ever discouraged you? Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Have you ever had a religious person tell you, you can't be saved? I've had them tell me, you're not a member of our denomination, only our denomination. If you're not baptized with our baptism, you can't be saved. If you don't follow our rules and our regulations, you can't be saved. There is no salvation outside of our church written in their catechisms. Have you ever had that happen to you? Let me tell you something. Jesus won't reject you if you come to Him.
Amen.
That is a blessing. Have you ever come to anybody here come to Him? Is it your experience that you were thirsty and He came and He gave you rest for your soul?
Amen.
1974, in a dark December night in Michigan, running around going the wrong place, the wrong way fast, sat down under a tree and said, "My life is empty. Oh, the vanity of life." And it wasn't long after that I met two young believers that were Christians, and they told me about Jesus Christ. What a refreshing of the soul when I found that there's salvation for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise for every sinner. Every sinner, young man. Every sinner, young lady. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You want to find out if you're elect? Come to Christ.
Amen.
Come to Christ. Jesus said another time, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." You want to find out about Christ? Get in the Scriptures. Young people, read your Bibles. In Polish or in English. Or Spanish. Or Russian. Or Greek. Find a Bible that you can read and read it. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures." But then He said something that's very interesting, very discouraging, very disappointing, very surprising. Who would it be that wouldn't come to Christ when He invites us? "Come, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest." He says, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." What a terrible thing. A sinner bound up in his sins, under the burden of religion, bound and gagged by the devil himself, and refused to come to Christ. Oh, what rebellion. Oh, what hardness of heart. How could it be that somebody would not come to Christ when He says, "Come"? Some people won't come to Christ because they believe they'll be rejected. They are the mistaken notion that God won't accept them. Did you know that God will accept you for the sake of Christ? Did you know that He promised that if you'll come, He'll not cast you out? So why is it that you don't come? What is it in your heart that hardens you that says, "I will not come. I do not want life"? We just wrote a new track getting ready for the UTSA campaign this next couple weeks. Are you a hater of God? It might surprise you how many people hate God. Did you know that if you bow down before an image, you're a hater of God? Did you know if you buck up and rebel and refuse to submit to God, you're a hater of God? Did you know that if you serve another master more than you serve God, you're a hater of God? You can't have two masters. Jesus is the only way. It is surprising, it is shocking to me how many people will not come to God. But Jesus says, "Come." In one of the parables or one of the stories in the Gospels, He sent His disciples out and they said, they mistreated Him and said, they didn't want to come. They gave one excuse after the other and they come back and said, "Master, what do we do?" "Well, go out on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." I get that. The idea is, go find somebody that's thirsty and tell them to come. I've got everlasting waters for them. They've asked me in Poland, they asked me in Mexico, they asked me here, "What are you doing here?" "I'm looking for sinners," because I've got good news for them. Jesus said, "Come." Isn't that good news? Did you know, despite the fact that you trodden under the foot of blood of Christ, that if you would repent of your sins and call upon the name of the Lord, He would receive you for the sake of Christ? That gospel we preach is an amazing gospel. That's why it's called good news. There was a certain centurion, and I'm sure once I read the story, you're going to remember. It's found in Luke chapter 7. He said that he had a servant, and he sent some of his servants to Jesus and said, would you come and heal my servant? We'll pick up the story in about verse 6. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, and having under me soldiers, and I say unto the one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and sent unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole and had been sick. I read this story because I thought it interesting. This centurion, this honorable man, did not feel himself worthy that Christ should come to him. And he did not feel worthy even to go to Christ. But I would say that Jesus says, come on. Come on, nobody's worthy. Come on, I'm here to make you worthy for the sake of Christ. I'm here to save sinners and change their lives. Come on, come on. Christ didn't die for the worthy, he died for the unworthy. He didn't die for the righteous and the holy, he died for the ungodly. What a gospel message we preach. What great news that we preach, that God can save the worst of sinners. And it's amazing that throughout the history, you talk to any sinner, and every one of them will tell you, I was the worst. That's what Paul says. I was the worst of sinners. But if I came to you, you'd say, no, I was much worse than Paul. I was worse than him. You don't know what's in my mind and heart. You don't know what I've done. I can remember in the old building, we used to have the old-fashioned revival call. We'd call people up to the front and have an altar. And I went up to pray with a young man, and I'm talking to him, and he says, I can't get saved. Why can't you get saved? God will not have me. I said, surely Jesus said, come unto me. No, 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 no. You just don't understand the wickedness that I've committed. And I had my arm around him. I said, friend, let me tell you that Christ is willing to forgive you. He died for all sins on the cross. There's not a wickedness that the blood of Christ can't take care of. No, 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 he said, you don't know what I've done. Just like this centurion, I'm not worthy that he should come. I'm not worthy to go unto him. There's no way that he can save me. And I opened up the scriptures after scripture showing him that Christ came to save the ungodly, that he died for the wicked, that he died for sinners, and his blood has power to cleanse. And if you'd come to him, he would save your soul and change your life. Amen. And that night he called upon the Lord right there with me. He called upon the Lord and God saved his soul. And I'm glad he didn't tell me what kind of wickedness. He did tell me what kind of wickedness that he got into. I'm glad he didn't tell me before I was talking to him, because after he told me, I began to have doubts. That guy was one wicked dude, but God saved him.
Praise the Lord.
Some people are burdened because of religious people. Jesus said in Matthew 23, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them upon men's shoulders, and not even with their own finger will they lift it. Religion puts burdens on you. Jesus gives you relief.
Amen.
Religion will make you thirsty. Jesus gives you satisfaction for your soul. In Psalm 38, even David in the Psalms, he writes in verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and a heavy burden, they are too many for me. Sometimes sin will do that to you. You get so burdened about your sin. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and he tells the story of Christian who has a great burden on his shoulders, and it falls, and he comes to the cross, and he gets to the cross, the burden rolls off of his shoulders, and he cries out, what relief, what relief, salvation in Christ, what relief. And my friend, if God has saved your soul, that is a blessing that God gave. I can remember as a young man, I told you a little bit about the story. When I got saved, I didn't have the Christian vocabulary yet. I just walked around saying, wow, 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 God can save me. God saved me. Why? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow! It was a wow moment for me. Now I guess we say amen, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah. But back then it was just wow. I think God was pretty happy with that wow. Have you ever been burdened by your sins?
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, that's why Jesus died. He died for sins. Not for his own. He died for yours.
Amen.
Those sins that are such a burden to you and such an embarrassment to you and such a trial and they're heavy on your soul, God sent his son to carry those sins for you and take them away from you. And he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Paul says in his own testimony, he's walking on the road to Damascus and the Lord Jesus appears to him. He says, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus, the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I met some people like that. Kicking against the pricks. God's dealing them. The Bible says clearly, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Spirit. You feel the pricks in your conscience and you know you should come. You've heard the call, Jesus, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You heard it and somehow you resist and the prickling of your conscience bothers you and you can't sleep at night. I met plenty of men that could not sleep at night because the Word of God was convicting their soul. And they finally relented and came to Christ, and what a relief. And they're so glad they came. Sometimes it's very difficult because we have doubts, don't we? Yeah, I can see that God lifted your burden, but I don't know that he'll lift mine. That, my friend, is a lie of the devil. That is a deception from the devil himself that God can't lift your burdens. He most certainly can. And even the best of us come into times when we just begin to doubt. I'll give you an example in John chapter 11. You remember Lazarus died. And he had two sisters. Here's a burden for you. Your brother dies. That's pretty tough, ain't it? Your brother dies. And you both love the Lord, and you all love the Lord Jesus Christ, and your brother's died, and you gotta wonder, he saved others. Why? How come he didn't heal my brother? And when Jesus came, we pick up the story in John 11 and verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus. And remember, Jesus waited a couple days when he found out that he's sick. I don't know if Martha and Mary knew of it. I don't know if Lazarus knew of it. But they had sent message that he was sick. Jesus got the word that he was sick and he just hung out where he was at for a couple more days. In the meantime, Lazarus is dead and laid in the grave. And oh, what weeping there was. Oh, what crying, what a burden of a soul when you lose a loved one, you lose your dear brother. Some of you maybe lost a mother or lost a father or lost a son or lost a cousin or somebody dear. You lost a dear aunt or a dear uncle. You lost a loved one. You know the anguish of soul. And you have doubts, don't you? Those doubts come. And listen to what Martha says. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I don't know about you, but I read that passage, you know, it's kind of like, if you'd only been here. Have you ever called out to God and said, God, where are you? My brother's dying. God, where are you? He's sick and he's laying on his deathbed. God, where are you? Where are you? My mother, she's dying. God, where are you? My daddy, he's dying. God, where are you? My son, he's dying. God, where are you? You're the resurrection and the life. You have healing power. God, where are you?
Yes.
Maybe you have some pains and aches and you just can't, you got back pains and you got stomach pains, and you got head pains and it just won't go away. And the tendency to think is, God, where are you? If you were only here. And somehow God feels distant to us. He seems too far away. Jesus says, come unto me. It wasn't just Martha, it was Mary down in verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And that raises the great question, why does God allow us to go through suffering? And we don't always respond as Job responded. If you remember that, he said, naked came out of my mother's womb and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave. We like it when God gives. The Lord gave. The Lord gave us that son. The Lord gave us that mother. The Lord gave us that father. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sin not, nor charge God foolishly. Did you know the Bible tells us it's good for us to go down into the house of mourning? There are lessons there that although painful, they are great lessons because down at that house of mourning, you're going to find a rest for your soul that you could not imagine. Jesus says, come unto me. That same story, we pick it up in verse 37. And some of them said, these are probably members of the synagogue where Mary and Martha and Lazarus attended, maybe distant relatives. They're all gathered around. They're weeping and crying with them. They lost their brother. They lost their friend. They lost their fellow member of the synagogue. They lost a loved one that he's laying in a grave now 4 days. They're crying. And the doubt comes, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Be honest, we have those types of questions, don't we? Amen. Lord, you healed that man's brother. What about my brother? Lord, I read in the Bible, you did great miracles. Where's the miracle in my life? Lord, if you'd only been here, where are you, Lord? Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Are you thirsty? Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? He's saying, humble yourself. Cast all your care upon you, for he cares for you. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that what he says? Come. I wrote down some things, basically because I guess I'm getting older and it's harder and harder to remember. So as Brother Lindell liked to say, his short pencil is better than a long memory. And a good computer and a Word document that prints out on a brother printer is a great thing to do for memory. So I just wrote some things down. Some biblical examples of people that were burdened and heavy laden. Do you remember Elijah under the juniper tree? Ready to commit suicide from exhaustion and fear of Jezebel? Do you remember the burdens that he had? Many a prophet in the Old Testament got into despair and they were burdened and heavy laden. And Jesus says, come unto me. Do you remember Hannah in the bitterness of soul, weeping and unable to eat because of her barrenness, wanting a child? I wonder, I look out here and see some people, young people. That's a big burden, isn't it? Some of you young ladies probably thinking, am I ever going to get a husband? And there's no way for me. Well, I guess there is the wrong way. I'm not going to have a child in a proper way if I don't get a husband. Lord, where is my man? Be honest. You said that. And then when God gave you your man, you said, oh, Lord, what hast thou done? No, but be honest. We want those things, don't we? It was God that designed marriage, and marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. God instituted it, and young ladies and even young men desiring to get married, but I don't think I'm ever going to get married. And in despair, sometimes they do the wrong thing. Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. David in the Psalms, many times we find him sleepless, under physical collapse, being crushed under the guilt of his own sin. And Jesus says, come unto me. We find Job stripped of everything, cursing the day of his birth, afflicted by the devil himself, not knowing that the war was going on in heaven between God and Satan, and he's right in the middle of it as a pawn in this great battle of powers. And yet it seems to me that Job somehow found peace. He would not curse God. His own wife saying, curse God and die. She couldn't take it. Jesus says, come unto me. Naomi, so bitter from the loss, she asked to be renamed Mara Mara, which means bitterness. Have you gotten to that place in your life where you're so burdened and distraught that you just think, my life is just filled with bitterness? Have any of you ever suffered anxiety? I'm acquainted with it. It's a real thing.
Amen.
It will drive you crazy. You think you're nuts. You go to the doctor, they examine you, they do the EKG. I mean, your heart just feels like it's pumping out of there and they never catch it. They put a monitor on your heart and you walk around for a month with this crazy heart and they still can't catch it. But you know it's there. They don't know what's wrong. And then they say, why don't you go to the psychiatrist? Then you know something's really wrong. That you become anxious and you can't explain it. Maybe anxiety because of a job. Maybe anxiety because of finances. Maybe anxiety because of problems. You don't have an explanation, but you know it's real. There's something wrong. You could feel it. You can't seem to function. It's overcome you. It's overwhelming. You don't know what to do. It's so overwhelming. Sometimes you just got to sit down and you cannot move from your chair. Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Maybe you're haunted by your past decisions, your past life, your drug addiction, your alcohol, your fornicating, your lying, your cheating, your stealing. And what a burden that can be. Jesus says, come. He says, come. Sinner friend, the most important thing I want to say this morning is that Jesus came to save your soul.
Amen.
Maybe they've been under the bondage of religion where they gave you one thing after another to do. Shave your head, put on the shiny shoes, put on a tie, put on a coat. Ladies, put on a dress, do this, do that. Don't wear makeup, don't go to the movies, don't watch a TV, don't drink alcohol. Too much tea's not good. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't associate with those that do. Don't eat pork, don't eat that, don't do this. Make sure you guard the Sabbath. And you just get overwhelmed and you say, oh God! What can I do? And religion wants to paint you white, but inside your soul you know you're just full of dead men's bones. You're empty, you're empty. And you say, God, what am I going to do? Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. Leave religion and come to Christ. I hope I hit your example of the problems and the burdens and the things you're carrying. Maybe a high pressure job. Maybe worried about a sick child. Maybe you're a widow or widower navigating the first holiday after they died. Maybe you have a parent or a loved one that's suffering and is in hospice and you just don't know what to do. Maybe they're laying up in hospital and the doctors themselves don't know what to do and it seems like everything they do just makes it worse and you're overwhelmed. What to do? You don't have an answer. You go to the doctor time and time again and it just seems to get worse and you spend all that you have and nothing better. Jesus says, come, come, touch the hem of my garment. Come unto me. Yeah, burdens are tough. Now, I promised you a story. I'm going to give you a story. This comes from a preacher I heard. He was a Scottish preacher. His name was Alistair Begg. Interesting name. He tells this story about, part of it was about Dr. James Kennedy. Now, I was aware of Dr. Kennedy. He's a Presbyterian pastor over in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I don't know if he's still living, but some of you in the old days, you might remember the evangelism explosion. Do you remember that, Bill? Where this Presbyterian pastor over there just got this enormous church that he was winning souls right and left. And they asked him how he did it. He went around and he gave seminars and he was the one that came up with this. Well, I don't know if he was the original one, but he propagated this idea of asking the question, if you were to die this morning and requested entry into heaven, what would you say? That's a good question. What would your answer be? You know, one night, a long time ago out here at Lackland Air Force Base, after I got everybody to pray, I went around and asking this question. And everybody got the answer wrong. That was an eye-opener for me. That was a life-changing thing that happened to me. Because every answer started with I. I. If we answer that question in the first person, it's wrong. You're off track. The train's derailed. It's not about you. Because I have faith, because I've baptized, because I'm this, because I keep the Sabbath, because I've done that, because I've done the other. I. Beloved, if the only proper answer is in the third person, because He did it. Christ did it. He's the one, not I. Him. It's Jesus that did it. That's the only proper answer.
Amen.
And yet the religious answer is we did it. Salvation answer, it's Him. Well, Brother Begg had this to say. He said, he thought about that thief on the cross, thinking about this question, thinking about the getting out the gospel and seeing people saved. He thought about the thief on the cross and he said, what a wonderful thing happened to him. Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow, this thief on the cross, this good-for-nothing lowlife, Jesus has promised him eternity. And Brother Begg said, boy, when I get to heaven, I want to have a conversation with him. That is going to be a wonderful thing. He says, when I get there, I'm going to ask him a few things. How did that work out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You're there on the cross and you're cussing him out. And you've never been to a Bible study. You were never baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet, you made it. How can that be? How did you make it? You were born in trespasses and sins. You weren't living a godly life. You didn't do anything. Nothing was going well for you. You were hanging on the cross because you were guilty. You're a thief. How did you make it? How did you get here? He said the angel must have asked, what are you doing here? And the thief responded, I don't know. And the angel says, what do you mean you don't know? What are you doing here? He says, well, because I don't know. And the angel says, well, you know, well, how did you get here? Excuse me, let me go get the supervisor angel. I got to go get a supervisor angel. And the supervisor angel comes over. He says, sir, just a few questions, if I may. First of all, sir, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith alone? Never heard of it in my life. Well, sir, was righteousness imputed to you? I don't have the foggiest idea. Well, this is highly unusual. Let's just go straight to the doctrine of the scriptures. Do you believe that the scriptures are divinely inspired? And he just stared out into space. Out of frustration, he finally asked, sir, on what basis are you here? Tell me plainly, man. Tell me plainly. What is the basis that you're here? And the thief replied, because the man on the middle cross said, I could come. He said, I could come. Jesus says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's the only answer, my friend. It's not about you. It's not about what you know. It's who you know and who knows you.
Amen.
It's the only answer, none other. Well, I wasn't that bad. No. I did this, I did that. No, no. The only answer is because the man on the middle cross said, I could come.
Amen.
Will you come? Listen to the plea and the invitation of the Scripture itself. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let them come. Come and take the water of life freely. Will you come today? Will you come today? Don't harden your heart. Come today. Come today. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. You well know I cannot see hearts, but you should know God can. So I'm going to ask a couple questions this morning, and that's between you and God, but I want you to examine your heart. The first question I'm going to ask you today, are you saved? Has Jesus Christ saved your soul? If you have any doubts, any reservation, any questions about the question I've asked, I would say, do as Jesus said, come to Him. And He can give rest, give you rest for your soul. He said, whosoever shall call upon His name of the Lord shall be saved. But I look across this congregation and most people, I've already heard your testimony and I rejoice with you. That you found the Lord, or should I say the Lord found you and saved your soul and changed your life. But I've been with you Wednesday night. I've seen your hands. Does anybody have an unspoken request? And the hands go up. In fact, I'm going to ask that right now. Anybody have an unspoken request? Raise your hand. Anybody carrying a burden here this morning? Raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All across the room. I'm going to tell you, come. Come to Christ. Cast your burden on Christ. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's any soul in the sound of my voice in this room this morning that has not come to know You as the Savior, come to know Jesus Christ as the redeeming Savior, and has no peace for the soul, that they might come to Christ today and be saved. That they might call upon Your precious name and be delivered from darkness and delivered from the power of Satan into the power of Your kingdom. And then, Lord, I pray for all my dear brothers and sisters carrying burdens, unspoken requests, heavy laden. I pray that You would give them peace that passes all understanding. I pray that You would say to their soul, peace, be still. And the storms and the waves would become immediately calm in their lives. Have mercy upon us, Lord. None of us are worthy to come. We're not worthy, but You call us to come. And we come just as we are, sinners in need of a Savior. Thank God You're our Savior. Bless each and every one of us now. Bless us in our afternoon activities. Bring us back here safely for the Lord's Supper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God richly bless you. If you have any questions, please come to me and I'll do my best to help you.